Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of The Winning Drive. That's right. I am Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, joined by Lifetime Longhorn CJ Vogel. Also joining us, and we are always happy to say, the coach. I can't do him justice with the intro, but I'll do my best. He's a former high school football coach at Burnet, Capel, Brownwood, Belton, Rotan, former college football player, as well at Abilene Christian, coach there in multiple stints. Also was on the staff at UT, five different seasons, had numerous different roles and responsibilities there as well. And these days, you can catch his work. Boom. Right there.
Boom.
Boom. How you like that? ShipleyRanches.com, baby. That's how you do it. Coach Bob Shipley, what's going on, coach?
Hey, what's up, Rod? Good to see you representing, babe.
Hey, like I said, this is why I wasn't a great athlete, but I was a good football player because I was coachable. You tell me something once, I get it. Boom. You ain't got to tell me again. My wife likes that about me. I'm coachable, man.
Let
me
say right.
That's it. That's all you need to do. Boom. Man, I got the message.
Yeah, we cannot afford to pay this kind of representation. Rod Babers, babe.
Hey, coach, you family. So, hey, it's part of Own Texas family, baby. We representing around here. Hey, CJ, how you doing today, brother? How's everything going?
Hey, 11 guys drafted. We're going to get into that, Rob. But, man, what a weekend for Texas football. What a weekend for everybody around the program. I'm excited to even cover it with you guys today. But, man, it was an exciting, busy weekend. It was a good one.
George kind of says, CJ, show Earl some respect and straighten out his picture. I love you guys are into the details of the show. They're paying attention, CJ, to the details, man.
Home decor is not my thing. I'll tell you what, I only got two things. I'm trying to add to it, all right? But, yeah, good call. I'll make sure that one's straightened for – I'll get the little –
We got some OCD fans, don't we?
You're damn right we do. And we appreciate them, too. Those are some of the best football fans. They're into the details of things, which we are into. All right, guys, we got a lot to talk about. It's going to be a jam-packed show. First of all, we do have a very special guest, which I'm going to tell you about here in a second. And that's courtesy of my man CJ and Jerry Hamilton, those guys working hard on the recruiting trail. We got a special guest that's going to join us a little bit later on. But also, of course, CJ just talked about it, the NFL draft. 11 players taken in the NFL draft for Texas, second most of any program in the country behind Michigan. And it is a record for Texas in the common era draft. If you go look at, you got to go all the way back to 1984, different draft altogether. Last time Texas had double digit players taken in the draft. So quite a day. First, before we dive into it, because I want to talk about who basically ended up in the best fits with the teams that drafted them. I think some guys are in ideal situations to start their careers in the NFL. We'll get to that. We'll also hear from some of the NFL GMs who actually drafted these players. Les Snead has something to say about Jordan Whittington. We'll talk about that. Also, Colts GM Chris Ballard, maybe one of my favorite new GMs. He basically spoke up on behalf of A.D. Mitchell and a lot of the pre-draft rumors that definitely dropped his draft stock. Everybody thought A.D. Mitchell would be a first-round pick, turned out to be a second-round pick, drafted with the 52nd pick overall, but went to the Colts. I think it's a good place for him. So we'll get into that, too, coming up a little bit later on. We're also going to talk – I want to talk about the SEC and the Big Ten representation in the NFL draft, or at least the future, what the SEC and the Big Ten will be, because it is remarkable. It is just mind-blowing, basically the kind of monopolization, if you will, of the talent now from those two conferences, which Texas will be a part of upcoming this 2021 season. And also talk about the position groups, the running back room, end up having two players drafted again from that Texas running back room. Jonathan Brooks, first running back drafted overall, and Bijan Robinson was the first running back drafted in 2023. We got to talk about that Texas running back room. I want to know what position rooms in the country for major college football programs are better or as good as the Texas running back room. And there are some, by the way, so I'm not saying Texas is the best position room in the country, but it's in the conversation. I want to have that conversation with you guys and talk about it. So we'll do that too. We'll talk about all of it, all of your questions, all of your comments. Please hit us up. We'll answer as many questions as we can. Super chats jump to the front of the lines. You guys know that. And we also have a very special guest, Emory Winston. Is going to join us a little bit later on the show. CJ, for those who don't know much about Emory Winston, tell the folks a little bit about our guest that's going to come up for us later on in the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously committed to the University of Texas, about a 6'3", 6'4", kind of hybrid flex tight end, really talented with the ball in his hands, can stretch the field vertically. We know Sarkisian and that tight end room, that marriage of being able to make plays down the field is very important for the Texas offense. Jatavion Sanders made a number of plays during his time down here in Austin, and of course we expect that to continue with Amari Nyblak, guys that are able to really beat man coverage with their speed at the tight end spot. You don't see it too often in the college game, but when you have a guy that can be a big-time game changer in mismatch, I mean, you certainly like to use him and deploy him. So he's, of course, starting up a spring football out there in Buford, Georgia. We're lucky to get him on for a few minutes later on today on the winning drive. So looking forward to that and, of course, how he was able to take in the Texas spring game because he was here in Austin for that game. And, of course, there were highlights galore from that game, so we'll ask him about his thoughts, how his recruitment's going, and, of course, what led him to committing to the University of Texas earlier in his recruitment as well.
Yeah, can't wait to have him on. So my man Matthew working behind the scenes for us. So let us know when he's ready to go, and we'll interrupt the show. Happy to do so for Emory Winston. All right. We'll get into, like I said, a ton of different things. Your questions, comments, please shoot them out there. We'll get to them as many as we can. Let's start with the NFL draft, guys. Let's start with your impressions. Coach, just give me your thoughts initially before we start talking about some of these individual draft picks for the Longhorns and where they ended up, which ones were ideal fits, which ones were less than ideal fits. Give me your first impressions of the draft. 11 guys drafted by the Longhorns. You've been watching Longhorn football for a long time. How impressed were you?
Yeah, incredibly impressed. I had predicted 9 draft picks, so 11 is awesome. I mean, it's just a great example of where we are as a program.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I agree with you. But in a short time, I mean, it's not too long ago where you had 0 players taken in the NFL draft, and now Sark with a record 11. And you know, Bobby talked about this too. You know, CJ, the talent development, which we agree at Texas right now, is at an all-time high. It seems like Texas is developing talent at a high level right now. There's no question about that. The 11 players in the NFL draft, the 11 players that went to the NFL combine, obviously an example of that, an obvious one. But if you start looking at where this program was just 2 years ago, and the different routes that these players took to get drafted, whether it be Jordan Whittington, whether you're talking about Jalen Ford, lowest rated recruit in his class, whether you're talking about a Tavondre Sweat, that was a very different route that he took. A.D. Mitchell and via the transfer portal, different route altogether. Byron Murphy. It just seems to be there's not necessarily one way that Texas went about developing all these guys. They all had very different routes. Keelan Robinson, also another guy too, to get here. But I think the common denominator is talent development. When they came here, they all got better and became NFL draftable prospects. Ultimately, that's the goal for every player playing in college football right now wants to be that. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Isn't that the saying? You know, it doesn't matter where you start, but how you finish. And a lot of these guys, you know, finish exactly where they wanted to be. And that's signing an NFL deal and ending up hearing their name called over the weekend in the NFL draft. Of course, you mentioned, you know, you have some 5-star kind of guys in here. You know, Xavier Worthy was kind of in that mold. Jatavion Sanders, Jordan Whittington back in his day, and I don't want to make him sound like he's too old, but, I mean, he was setting records at Cuero, and he was doing so on the biggest stage in the state championship game. Of course, to your point, it just takes a little bit of a time for these guys to really hit their groove and find just how – you know, they can piece things together on the field. So for Jay Witt, it took him a while. You know, it took him 5 years to stay healthy, to find that groove on the field and find what his role was, because we didn't really know what it was. You expected him to be that big-time playmaking wide receiver. He, you know, of course, had those nagging injuries. You couldn't see him on the field consistency early on. But as you started to see him mature and develop in his role, I think he mastered it. You know, he was that third or fourth wide receiver at a time where Texas desperately needed one. You know, he was that sure-handed guy underneath that moved the chains on third and medium, third and long. He was that guy that you could lead as a – or put out front as a lead blocker and, you know, basically pummel some guys into the dirt. He did that very well, and as a result, NFL teams took notice. You know, we'll hear from the Rams GM and Sean McVay later on talking about what they liked about Jordan Whittington. It wasn't about the flashy plays. It wasn't about his measurables or what it took for him to get on the field in terms of, you know, his speed or agility. It was what he did behind the scenes. It was the little things. It was how much every day meant to him coming into the work. To the weight room, coming into the facility, and how his teammates looked at him. So I thought that was very encouraging. You know, Christian Jones is another guy in that regard as well. Yep. Not a very high draft or rated recruit. Took him a long time to get his feet under him. I think a few years ago would have thought maybe this wasn't the spot for him. You know, that right tackle position might be better suited for somebody else. But as a result of the continual development and trust in Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian, I mean, him going fifth round is a big win for the Longhorns. And it's, I think there's a number of guys here that you can point to in that same respect. So really, really impressive day, weekend, showing, whatever you want to call it. Texas won the draft, without a doubt.
It's crazy to say that because we were saying that, I feel like, after the combine, too, the Texas won the combine. And now we're talking about Texas winning the draft. Let's start at the, starting at the bottom now, we're here, kind of Drake thing. But let's start with the guys who were drafted latest, and then we'll work our way to the highest draft picks for the Longhorns. How about that? Because there were so many of them. I didn't feel like we're going to have this many to cover, but it's a good problem to have. So let's start with Jay Witt. Jay Witt was in round six, 213th overall to the Rams. I brought this up, and CJ, I'll let you bring up your little nugget because I thought it was interesting. On Third and Longhorns, our Third and Longhorns podcast, shout out to my man, Nick Shuley, who puts it all together, but Derek Johnson and Alex Okafor and Jeremy Hills and Fozzie Whitaker do a really good job. But we actually interviewed Tate Haver, who was the long snapper for the Longhorns, who's the son of Les Snead, the GM of the Rams. Now, I don't know this. He's a great young man. I don't know this to be true, but I still believe it, that when Les Snead was going to draft Jay Witt, that, because I also know that he was hanging out with his dad for the draft, there had to be, you definitely would ask your son, hey, I know, how's your teammate? Would you tell me, give me a little breakdown about your teammate? Because we also know this is what happened with Jerry Jones drafting DeMarvion Overshown. Paxton Anderson was a teammate of DeMarvion Overshown, and he got a recommendation. Jerry Jones actually asked his grandson, hey, tell me what kind of teammate he is. Tell me about his football character. I'm going to say that was definitely a recommendation by his teammate and a reference, if you will. So give it up for Jay Witt, because guys, he wasn't drafted on productivity. He wasn't drafted on really his measurables either. I mean, he ran a decent 40 time, about 4.42. He didn't really work out at the combine. He didn't work out at the pro day. He got drafted on football character, I feel like. Am I wrong about that?
I would have to agree 100%. Of course, I mean, this is a guy who was eligible to play 5 years in college, and he only accumulated 1,700 yards and only found the end zone five times. And so it felt like, you know, it wasn't necessarily a draft pick based off of what he did on the field, although when healthy, especially the last 2 years when he had over 1,150 yards, you saw the production at times, but it didn't jump off the page at any point. You know, this was something that he certainly had to work for and do the little things right to ensure that guys found ways to take an extra look at him. You know, front office guys, they see the flashy plays. They see the guys that, you know, run the 4.3s and, of course, like Xavier Worthy, a 4.21. And very rarely do you see three guys on one wide receiving group get drafted in a single year. But because of, you know, there only being one football and only one time at a, you know, you have to make your plays in other ways. Jordan Whittington excelled in that. And that high character mention that was brought up about him from the Rams, I mean, there's a reason why every single player that was talked to at the Texas Pro Day mentioned Jordan Whittington as the one guy they would like, you know, a potential team that they get drafted by to pick up Jordan Whittington. There's a reason for that. He was the heartbeat of this team, and I think that was a big piece of what we saw from Roschon Johnson going in the fourth round. You know, his production might not have lined up with guys who got picked in that similar range, but they did the little things very well, and they went the extra mile to ensure that their team was put before their individual accomplishments. And that's the biggest part of what these NFL drafts executives, you know, the people making those big time decisions are making sure that they're adding pieces to their team that ultimately help them get closer to lifting the Lombardi Trophy.
Hey, Coach, you know something about wide receivers. The Rams do a good job of finding sleepers like that. Cooper Kupp was way off the radar. Puka Nacua, way off the radar for folks. and end up being slam dunks. I'm not saying that's Jay Witt. I'm not at all. But I'm just saying that they do have a little history of finding kind of off the beaten path wide receivers who ended up striking for them. But what are your thoughts about Jay Witt in the NFL and Jay Witt's transition? You said, I will give you credit, Coach. You said multiple times, oh no, that's a guy I'd draft. Like you would, I would draft someone like that on our team just because of his football character. Well, it turns out, Coach, you're not alone.
Yeah, I think it's a great example of NFL staff visiting with the UT staff and realizing what Jay Witt brings to the table, you know, along with Keelan Robinson and Ryan Watts. Those are three guys that honestly, you know, we didn't know if they'd be drafted, but the fact that Jay Witt is who he is in the locker room, on the field, he's invaluable. You can't put a measuring tape on what he brings to the team, what he brings to the culture, you know. And I think Ryan Watts and Keelan are, you know, they bring the same thing. You know, they bring, a winning attitude into the NFL. And I think it's just really cool to know that GMs and owners looked at that and saw, you know, here's three guys that, you know, can really add to our team in the locker room. And those are three guys that personally I didn't think would be drafted, you know, but they were. And I'm so thankful that these teams did their homework on our guys.
We have a video from my man Matthew, pulled it up, and we appreciate his efforts, of Les Snead talking about Jay Witt and talking about the process of evaluating Jay Witt and what went into it. Here is Les Snead, the GM for the Rams. Let's have that ready, Matthew, when you get a chance.
You know what's interesting with Jordan, for anybody who didn't know, Tate, my stepson, my daughter's at Texas too, but he was going through the recruiting process, not this year, the year before. Went to a few Texas games, and at that point they didn't have A.D. Mitchell. Their tight end, who was drafted this year, was just starting. So Jordan was a big part of their offense. Poor Xavier, I mean, Worthy would, you know, haul ass down the field, and it's like, man, we can't even get him the ball. So Whittington did a lot of underneath stuff. So you just came to respect, like, wow, that's a good football player. Then they pretty much go get a lot of five stars this year. You had to take a step back. The neat thing is, from the moment you walk in that building, and I think they had 11 players drafted this year, is probably the second most in Michigan, but that's a very talented thing that Sark's got going. But there was one thing that everyone said, you know what, Jordan's our heartbeat. He was one of those guys that, and Sark does a nice job, Sean knows this, on offense. He knew all three positions, was willing to be the third, the fourth, play all the core on special teams. So it's kind of one of those kind of key core guys that you draft with a vision and more than likely has a role here.
And CJ, you alerted me to this because I didn't think about it. Sean McVay being the keynote speaker at the Texas Coaching Clinic, I'm sure he got an up close and kind of personal evaluation and reference from all the Texas prospects, including Jay Witt. And that kind of reminds me of when Dan Quinn spoke at that. You talked about Dan Quinn speaking at the coaching clinic 2 years ago, and when they drafted DeMarvion Overshown.
Right.
And I'm sure he got a personal kind of up close evaluation of DeMarvion Overshown at that time and talked to a lot of people about his leadership. So it's interesting how that's the last 2 years, it seems to have been kind of the same process, personal references and guys who are related to NFL owners / GMs. By the way, Texas needs to keep that up. How can they? What is the chances of that? How many programs have that going on, Coach, where they had the players on their roster back-to-back years that were grandson and sons of NFL GMs and owners and GMs? What does that happen a lot? How many times have you seen that?
Yeah, I don't know how much it happens. I know when I was at UT, Bill Belichick spoke at our coaching clinic, and I had to gather several guys for him to work out while he was there. And so, you know, I don't know who worked out our guys when they came to speak at our clinics, but certainly, you know, these guys understand what we have, and they get on campus and they visit with our coaches, and they understand, you know, at the highest level, you know, what our guys can bring to the table in the NFL. And so I think, yeah, that's great, Ed. You're so right. Character matters. Jay Witt is on the top of that list. I think Ryan Watts, Keelan Robinson are too, or they wouldn't be drafted. You know, those guys were guys I thought would be free agents. But I think GM saw what they bring to the table, the culture they could bring to the locker room. I think that speaks volumes for our staff.
Speaking of, let's move on to those guys, Coach, because and I'll give my man CJ a lot of credit. Ryan Watts, you predicted the team that he'd go to, CJ. You didn't predict the round, but you got the team right. That's pretty damn impressive, man, to the Ryan Watts, to the Steelers. It was round 6, 195, but you did predict the team.
Yeah, I had them, what was it, the pick 178, I think is what they had. I had them in. Not too far off, but I did pick the Steelers. I felt like Tomlin likes those lengthy DBs. You know, he certainly put up the testing measurables that catches the eyes of those NFL draft executives. And, man, I think that's a good, good fit. That's one of my favorite fits of anybody that got drafted this weekend from the Longhorns. They know defense. Tomlin knows DBs. That's a guy who – can certainly be molded in the way that can have a lengthy NFL career. I love that fit for Ryan Watts.
That's a great point. I agree with you on that, CJ. And, you know, he's a guy that at the combine, sixth in his vertical among the corners, second in the three cone, fourth in the shuttle. His gauntlet was the fastest gauntlet drill of all the DBs, all the corners, I should say, there. And his broad jump ended up being at the Texas Pro Day. It would have been fourth best at the combine among corners. He actually made himself some money in the scouting season or the offseason, the combine season, if you will, because I'm not sure he was considered a draftable prospect before then. And he turned out to it mattered to him, and you knew it mattered to him because of the way he trained and how ready he was, Coach. So I agree. It showed a lot about his character as a player for him to grind it out and become a draftable prospect by proving that he had the athletic profile of one.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Ryan Watts is a guy that probably didn't have the opportunity to show everything he was capable of while he was at Texas, but he certainly showed enough, you know, to be drafted in the sixth round.
Yeah, should have probably played some safety at Texas, but that's a different discussion for a different day. Next up, guys, Jalen Ford. He was drafted by the Saints in round 5, 175th overall. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, man, he dropped in the draft. Not really. This is about where the NFL drafts off-ball linebackers. Middle rounds, rounds 3 through 5 is pretty much – I mean, Dre Greenlaw was a fifth-round pick. Fred Warner was a third-round pick. This is about – unless you have – freakish athletic skills, and I love Jalen Ford, but Jalen Ford is not a freakish athlete. He's a freakish football player with freakish football IQ. That's why I think he'll make a roster. And if he's not with the Saints, I think he is an NFL player that'll make a roster. But, guys, that's why he dropped. Didn't really have anything testing-wise that stood out. But if you watch Jalen Ford play, Coach, for long enough, then you know he's one of the best football players that we've seen on defense for Texas since Sark has been here.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You look at his junior film, and that really shows what he can do. I think his senior film, you know, you've got to take that with a grain of salt because everybody knew what he could do. Everybody was prepared to block Jalen Ford, you know, this season, and he still had a good season. Not quite the season he had the year before.
Yeah.
But, you know, he certainly made a name for himself, especially in the 22 season, and then the 23 season just, you know, was a great example of what he can do when, you know, he's a guy that every offense has to know where he is on every snap.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I agree with that. I, you know, in terms of the fit, they do have a lot of good linebackers. I mean, I think they got DeMario Davis. There was an all-pro. I mean, they have some guys there with the Saints, so I'm not sure if he's a guy that's going to play right away. And I'm not sure actually that he needs to play right away in the league. He's one of those guys who probably would be best served sitting a while. They got Willie Gay, I think, is another linebacker there. That's probably one of their other starting linebackers. But I wouldn't doubt if he's a guy that's on special teams, and special teams now is more of an emphasis in the NFL, speaking of, that he's a guy that can make his headway there first. Speaking of special teams, and I did say it when the NFL changed its kickoff return policy and his kickoff return rules to adopt the XFL's kickoff return. And I said, Keelan Robinson should be celebrating because this makes him a draftable prospect. I did not know he would go 167th overall in the fifth round. That was really impressive to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Shows you that not only a team's emphasizing, but maybe drafting him. And he was, by the way, the best kickoff returner in this draft. So maybe they're emphasizing, but maybe drafting him that high, if he proves himself as a kickoff returner, CJ, maybe Doug Peterson will have some boutique plays for him potentially on offense, because that was much higher than I thought Keenan Robinson would get drafted.
Yeah, I was shocked to see his name come across the ticker at that part of the draft. I thought maybe later on, maybe in the seventh round, you'd see his name. Of course, a 4.42 in the 40. He put up 20 reps on the bench. He put together good testing numbers, and I think that helped his draft stock a lot, especially in the sense that he only had 12 rushing attempts this past season. Now, he had 131 rushing yards with those attempts, but you don't ever see that happen all too much without extra incentive to what you bring to the table. And I mean, he certainly does. What's going to be interesting is which Longhorn returns the kicks for the Jaguars. Is it Keelan Robinson or is it Devin Duvernay? Because remember, they went out and got him this offseason as well. So we could certainly see a tandem, a duo, who knows, a little combo of those two guys. But that running back room, they just picked up the fifth-year option, Travis Etienne. Of course, Tank Bigsby, the running back out of Auburn, was drafted a year ago as well. So they're going to have some pieces to play with. And right now, if you spend a six-round pick, a guy in the top 175, you expect to at least make some sort of impact at some point his rookie year. I'm excited for Keelan. That's a fun fit. That offense was a little bit down last year. I'd expect them to pick things up in 2024. Also, if you want to make an NFL connection there, I wonder if they made any calls at any point to Chris Jackson, who's now on staff with the Longhorns. Of course, that's who he was coaching in the NFL over the past couple of seasons as well, was up in Jacksonville.
Nice nugget, CJ. Good stuff. That was good. I like that. I agree. And they do. I mean, Coach, you know this. The coaching world is a small world, man. You know that, Coach. You definitely make that call. If you don't make the call because you know him, you know somebody who know him, don't you, Coach? That's right?
Yeah. There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Yeah. So you want to vet those guys.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Let's go to Christian Jones, who also ended up, I think, being drafted a lot higher than some people thought. People thought late round pick. We point out that Daniel Jeremiah had him 55th out of his top 150 on his big board prior to the draft. He gets drafted 162nd overall in the fifth round, going to the Arizona Cardinals. And I got to tell you, good for Christian Jones, man. And this is a guy that if you look at his overall athletic profile, I think they saw a tremendous upside with him. He, as a freshman in high school, was, what, 6'2", 215, and now is, what, 6'5". 318. The truth is, I bet if you've been tracking him, he probably has only had this frame and this body for about 4 or 5 years. And I bet now, and that's why he's gotten better every year. I think the scouts are looking at him as a guy who hasn't come close to tapping his ceiling yet. And they project he's going to move inside to guard when he gets to NFL. And that actually should be an easier transition for him, CJ.
Yeah, absolutely. With the Cardinals specifically, he's a guard. I mean, you don't go out and you spend money on Jonah Williams. You draft Paris Johnson Jr. out of Ohio State in the first round a year ago. They've got their tackles. Right now, they need that depth on the interior to ensure that Kyler Murray is upright for 17 games, something that we haven't seen over the past couple of years. I like the fit. I think that's certainly a place he can find the field. Cardinals offensive line wasn't great in 2023. It hasn't been great in a while. So for Christian Jones to, again, get that extra understanding of what his body can do, the limits, and what he can certainly exceed limits in with his body, that's big going into the NFL with the Cardinals. I love him as a guard. And, I mean, that he's going to be facing some really good interior defensive linemen. Luckily now he won't be having to face Aaron Donald two times a year either.
Got to face Byron Murphy, though.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, face. A bit different look, too. He didn't have to face him all that much from a tackle going into the interior. Right. Good luck. That's not going to be very fun.
Oh, yeah, that ain't going to be fun. He got a good scouting report on you, too, Chris. He knows you really well. No, that's good. And your thoughts, Coach, about Christian Jones? He's also one of those guys that I just think showed tremendous football character while he was here at Texas. We've seen him struggle when he first saw the field. And nobody really predicted this young man would be a draftable prospect in the NFL. But every year, a little bit better. A little bit better. By the time he got 6 years, he's an NFL player.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I'm not a big fan of soccer, but
no,
soccer really helped Christian Jones. He was on a select soccer team. I was involved in his recruiting, and you know, he was a great soccer player when he was under 200 pounds. But you know, it's funny. I listen to Coke FM every day in the morning. And they said, well, Jerry Jones' grandson was drafted by the Cardinals. And I had to send them a text to my guys at Coke FM and say, you know, Jerry's been known to be a little bit of a rounder, but I don't think Jerry fired Christian Jones. Yeah. Jerry Jones had another grandson on the team without the Jones name.
Yes. Yes. Paxton Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so I had to get those guys straight at Coke FM. This was not Jerry Jones' grandson. I mean, yeah. You know, Jerry Jones has, you know, wow. He's done some things, but. Yeah, Christian is a great, great young man.
Absolutely. His family,
Christian is, he's as good as they come, and he'll be a big-time locker room guy for the Cardinals, I think, because, you know, he's just great morals, great character, and I think that his future is in front of him for sure. His best days playing the offensive line are ahead of him.
Yeah, it feels like
that. I love that, Coach.
A rounder. that's an old school term, right? The old school country boy term, right there.
That's right.
And I get, honestly, I'm not familiar with the term, but as soon as you got it, the context clues all lined up. Boom! I was like, yep, I know what he's talking about. Yep, it's like the Tupac song. I get around. He's a rounder. Oh man, Coach is funny. All right, let's get to the next pick here for the Longhorns. It was JT Saturday. There's some Longhorns in this chat already, and I got some little surly things to say about JT. Jake says, do y'all think JT Sanders should have come back for one more year? And Steve Sherlock says, Sanders definitely should have stayed, considering he was drafted in round 4. Okay, he was drafted by the Carolina Panthers, by the way, a pick 101st overall. Let's talk about it, guys. Do y'all think JT should have stayed in school? I think he should have just left. What are your thoughts, Coach CJ? What are your thoughts?
No, absolutely not. I mean, he was the tight end too, essentially, after this year. You know, that's where he was. He was a projected second or third round pick. He was the tight end too on the board. It didn't work out like that. And, of course, I think a little bit or most of it falls on his shoulders. You know, he didn't test well. He didn't have good combine grades. He didn't look like he was bought into what was happening at the pro day at all. And it was surprising to me, as somebody who was in attendance and has watched Jatavion Sanders over the last couple of years, dating all the way back to his time at Denton Ryan, he is an ultra-competitive guy. He is a guy that will get into a room and across the field from you, you're not going to beat him one-on-one. But for whatever reason, that day in the bubble, it felt like he beat himself. And I'm not sure what it was entirely, but it was a poor showing. And it was a poor showing in front of 90-plus scouts, executives, coaches, whatever it is. And so as a result of that, when you only put up 8 reps on the bench and you don't have great running times and, you know, everything else that goes into it besides catching a football is lackluster. I mean, this is what happens. You fall. Scouts take note of that because it's their job on the line to ensure that that team gets better. So should he have come back? Probably not. I thought, again, he was that tight end too. Should he have taken care of business a little bit earlier in his pre-draft routine? Yeah, I think so. But Carolina's a fine spot. Young quarterback. Young quarterbacks love those little safety valves at the tight end position. The Panthers need all the help they can get, especially in the passing game. He's going to get a lot of targets. He's going to be schemed open. He's going to be utilized well. Oh, and he gets to play a little bit more with Jonathan Brooks. So I think it's a fine fit. But should he have come back? No, that was all on Jatavion in my eyes. To have that drop was a little bit self-inflicted.
Coach, what are your thoughts about JT Sanders? Should he have come back to school? Should he have gone? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I have the utmost respect for CJ and the way that he prepares himself, but I would have loved to see JT come back another year.
Yeah. You know,
he would need to get serious about the weight room, you know, but it is what it is, you know, and he has to continue to grow and develop as a player. And, you know, I think maybe, you know, some teams saw that.
Yeah.
But very poor showing in the combine and the Texas Pro Day. I would love to have him back another year, but, you know, good luck to him. I hope he'll continue to work. And, you know, overcome some deficiencies that are obvious, you know, with his strength and so forth. But, you know, the guy's a baller. You know, he's just a straight out baller on Saturday. You could take all the, you know, the test and his strength and his speed and all those things. And, you know, I just love the fact that there's still NFL teams that will look at the tape and see what a guy brings to the table. Yeah. Not look at his measurables, but look at his production.
Yeah.
And the way that he catches the ball in a crowd. You know, if he would have come back, I think he could have certainly been drafted higher. But good luck to JT. I think he's, you know, he doesn't need to, you know, just chill out and think he's got it made. He's got to continue to develop. He could be one of the greatest tight ends that we've had, you know, in terms of his NFL production. If he'll continue to be serious about his growth as, you know, his personal growth.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm with that. It was 8 reps on the bench, whatever it was that he had. Trust me, some scouts, they took it upon themselves to basically indict his football character as a result of that. Yeah. Because they believe that there are tight ends in high school that if just with a little bit more work, they can bench more than 8 reps on the bench. So it's either was he injured, and if he's injured, then they need to know that for the data evaluation. But if not, then a lot of scouts, they connected the 8 reps on the bench to why he was a subpar blocker. And they were like, well, he's a subpar blocker because he doesn't have upper body strength. Well, why doesn't he have upper body strength? Well, is he not spending time in the weight room? Is it an injury? Does he just not care about that part of football? And I think that ultimately that's why he dropped. Hopefully, if it matters to him, JT's going to be a hell of a pro.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If it matters to him, watch out. And I hope he does have a chip on his shoulder as a result. Because, you know, if he does, he's going to be a hell of a pro. That's, I mean, it happens.
It should. I mean, it cost him a lot of money. That fall did. So it absolutely should.
Yeah.
I bet it does.
I hope it does. All right, before we get to the guys who were drafted in the first 2 rounds, let's take a quick break and thank our fantastic sponsors. First, let's thank the folks over at South Point Dodge. Very happy that they are on the team now, the On Texas football team. Longhorn fans, you can score an easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, and their award-winning sales staff, they don't play games. They're not about gimmicks. They get right to the point. And the point is they want to get you the best deal possible. So score big today at South Point Dodge. Come see us off I-35 South or just go to southpointdodge.com to find out more information. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. So thank you very much to South Point Dodge for their support and their sponsorship of the winning drive. Also, we'd like to thank the good, fine folks over at Flat Creek Estate Winery as well. Flat Creek just won 11 awards in 30 days, including double gold Grand Reserve and Texas Grand Reserve at the Houston Rodeo. Flat Creek Estate Winery is raking in the awards and just a few minutes from the heart of Austin, Texas. Select bottles of the wines by Flat Creek Estate are now available at your local Specs, so now you can get a taste of what they're all about. Flat Creek is also a gorgeous venue hosting events for the whole family all spring. Check out their website for wine tasting, chef dinners, and even make a reservation to visit the property for Mother's Day coming up. Eat, drink, and be awesome at Flat Creek Estate. For more information, please visit flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com for more information. All right, let's and by the way, still trying to get the mothers on board so I can get out there for Mother's Day. It's tough getting my mom and the new mother in our household on the same page. But we are working on it, I assure you, trying to get that done as well. Okay, let's get back to the draft. And then after that, we'll either take questions or I got a couple of topics that I want to hit up with you guys about the current Texas football team. But let's continue here. The second round at the which was a little bit surprising. Jonathan Brooks, he actually went ahead of where teams thought he was going. The first running back off the board. Actually, no, I take that back. Let's go to A.D. Mitchell because he was actually taken 52nd overall. Jonathan Brooks was 46. So I apologize about that. Round two, 52nd overall, A.D. Mitchell dropped all the way to 52. I think a lot of people thought he was going to be the first receiver for Texas off the board. That was not the case. There's no doubt the pre-draft rumors, actually, they definitely ended up hurting A.D. And we don't know where these rumors came out of nowhere. They came out of nowhere. And I hate to even bring them up again. I'll just reference what they talked about. Basically, they hinted or implied that because of his diabetes, that oftentimes he doesn't manage it well. And when he doesn't manage it well, that it affects his performance, it affects his mood, and that he may need, quote, a handler as a result of this in the NFL. Also talked about how, you know, that affects his relationship with teammates and coaches. Yeah, it came out probably 2-3 weeks before the draft and certainly dropped his draft stock. Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, actually, after they drafted him 52nd overall, he was upset and took a vehement, passionate stance on behalf of A.D. Mitchell. Here's what Chris Ballard had to say about the pre-draft rumors that dropped the draft stock of one A.D. Mitchell.
I don't know. I mean, I read some of the that was said on TV. I mean, just the typical, excuse my language. Our typical league, unnamed sources, you know, bad interview. That's such, I mean, it is. It's like, put your name on it. I'm tired of, we tear these young men down. These are 21, 22 young men. And if people out there can tell me they're perfect in their lives, it's crap. This is a good kid. And, you know, for those reports to come out, like, you know, I said it last year. I'm sorry. I apologize for the language. I don't, but I do.
I don't, but I do. He goes 52nd overall to the Colts. What are your thoughts, CJ, about the fit A.D. Mitchell to the Indianapolis Colts?
Oh, it's a tremendous fit. It absolutely is. He's going to be that wide receiver two right across from Michael Pittman. They have a young, talented quarterback with a big arm and Anthony Richardson. They're going to be in a division right now that is really, really improving the offensive side of the ball across the field. I mean, of course, you look at the Texans, you look at the Jaguars. They got, you know, quarterbacks right now. They got to keep up in that division. So they're going to be slinging that ball a good bit. I love the fit. I love what Chris Ballard had to say. And you know, if there were any true concerns about A.D. Mitchell in his time at Texas, they would have been nixed early in that Colts draft board. You know why? Shane Steichen was at the Texas Pro Day. So was Reggie Wayne, the Colts legend, now a wide receivers coach on staff there. Both of them in attendance to see A.D. Mitchell in action at the Pro Day. And for those who were there, they saw Steichen and Coach Sarkisian you know, almost inseparable after the pro day testing was concluded. The two of them were sitting around talking for about 10 or 15 minutes on the field. They had a long, lengthy conversation. I'm sure that even filled in over a little bit after the pro day as well, in terms of how well these guys truly can, you know, kind of carry themselves after the pro day. So I don't think there were any red flags on the side of the Colts. I think Chris Ballard's actually very happy that he fell, you know, to 52, because you don't see that type of talent that deep in the second round too often, especially when you saw him being drafted or mock drafted as high as 23. I mean, that's a 30 pick selection drop. Yeah. I thought the Colts are going to be very happy with that. I think it's a great fit for him. He's going to get plenty of looks. So again, as long as he can keep his head on right, which I believe everybody who I've talked to behind the scenes believes he can be, that's going to be a good pick. That's going to be a great value for Indianapolis.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Coach, about A.D. Mitchell? Draft stock dropping, but him also ending up with the Indianapolis Colts. Hey, you got a quarterback that can chunk the rock, though, when he goes vertically downfield, because Anthony Richardson got a gun. But what are your thoughts about the fit for A.D. Mitchell?
Well, I think it's a shame he dropped the way that he did, but it's a great fit for him. I'll agree with C.J. I think it's a great fit for him. And the bottom line is this. And you know this, Rod, it's not the first contract. It's a second contract that really makes you the money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the most important thing for AD is for him to be in a great program that can utilize his skills. And I think it's a great fit for him. And, you know, he may have lost it a little money, you know, with the draft, but he'll make it up with a second contract, in my opinion. Great yeah. fit. Great fit.
No doubt about it. And we may be prematurely here interrupted before we're done by our special guest in about 3 to 4 minutes. So Emory Winston may be joining us. So just a heads up for everybody out there. Before we do that, though, let's get back to it. Jonathan Brooks, he was taken by the Carolina Panthers in the second round, the 46th pick overall. This is a guy, he's going to end up starting for them in a couple of years. I mean, you look at the running back room they have now, Miles Sanders, Chuba Hubbard. Those are going to be the guys this upcoming season. But once Jake Brooks is fully healthy, he's going to be Carolina Panthers starting running back. And they got a new head coach there, David Canales obviously likes these Longhorns because he got JT Sanders in the fourth round. And guys, I'll make a prediction. I think JT Sanders and Jay Brooks end up starting for the Panthers in 2 years.
I like it. I do too. And, you know, you look at it this year. Listen, it wasn't a great running year for the Panthers a year. It wasn't a good football season for the Panthers. And I know we talked about it. We joked about it at light every now and then. Oh, well, you don't want to fall to the Panthers at 33 if you're Xavier Worthy or Adonai Mitchell. Well, if you're Jonathan Brooks, I'm sure you're not pleased to be in Carolina, but they did add a lot of pieces to that offensive line this offseason. Robert Hunt, the guard, they added Damian Lewis. And Josh Neiman. So that's three pieces that they went and added out of the free agency world to basically give Bryce Young a pocket. He didn't have one a year ago. There weren't running lanes for Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders. They went out and they spent the money probably a year too late, but at least they're trying. And if you're Jonathan Brooks looking at this offensive line, okay, at least there's some NFL veterans in front of me. It's not a ragtag bunch of inexperienced rookies, which is very, very important for his career longevity as well, especially coming off of an ACL injury. So it certainly should be a step up from what we saw a year ago. But at the same point, we're going to have to wait and see just how long it takes for the group to get going 100%. But at least there's a start right now in Carolina.
Yeah. Jay, what are your thoughts about Jay Brooks, Coach? Honestly, for Bryce Young, if Bryce Young's good or not, Jay Brooks is going to get a lot of carries, man. He's going to get a lot of work when he's fully healthy. And I'll say this, Dave Canales, the new head coach, he has basically resurrected the skill set of Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield in Tampa. Can he do that with Bryce Young is the question.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I think it's a great spot for Jay Brooks to be in. You know, unfortunate with his injury, but you got to love a team that'll take a chance on a guy that was injured in the second round. And I think Jay Brooks will go in with a chip on his shoulder, you know, just the way he came into the University of Texas. You know, he ran with a chip on his shoulder. He practiced with a chip on his shoulder. And, you know, I think the 46th pick in the draft is – maybe not where he wanted to be, but I think in the long run, it's going to be a really good spot for Jay Brooks to be in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. I believe we do have our very special guest getting ready to join us now, Emery Winston. When my man Matthew gets it set up, we'll have him for just a little while, for a few minutes. Then we'll get back to our draft breakdown and review, and then we'll get to some other conversation. All right. I believe there he is. Hey, Emery, how you doing? This is there he is. Oh, there he is. Came back to us.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm trying to get it like where it doesn't look like.
Give me a second. Oh, see, hey, you know what? I respect the young man. He's all about lighting. He's trying to get some good lighting for us. Want people today to see him. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go outside.
There you can see. I appreciate it. It's already like this guy. I already like him in Winston. I'm a big fan already.
All right, there we go. We got the beanie. It's all about the optics. Go. Everything's going now. I like it. Emery, how are we?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. Good. I appreciate you hopping on with us today. Of course, we just watched the NFL draft. A lot of Longhorns heard their name selected. Let me get your thoughts on that real quick.
I just feel like that's where you're going to be developed at. And you can see that, like, how highest number of draft guys in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, we saw, you know, Jatavion Sanders, a number of those guys on the offensive side of the ball, three wide receivers. When it comes to, you know, the Texas offense and how kind of explosive it is while also getting a number of guys involved, how much of that did you take into account before committing to Texas and, of course, evaluating Sarkisian's offense as well?
So really, originally, I didn't really look into Texas, and I didn't do all my, like, digging into every school, I think. Mm-hmm. That used the tight end, and you know, like I was like figuring where I wanted to go when stay close, because I knew Texas was far. I know they offered me, and I knew that was like a dream offer or whatever. I wanted one, but I knew I didn't want to go there. And then I'm riding down the road one day, and I'm like, Mom, I think I want to go to Texas. And she's like, why? And I was like, do you not see what they're doing with JT? And we were actually in Kentucky for my sister's track meet, or I think something like that. And so I'm like, and it just popped up. Like, I see how he's getting used, and like probably him and Georgia are like Texas and Georgia is like the most, you know.
Yeah. So. Hey, Emery, let me ask you about your game, man. I got a chance to watch some of your film. You're a physical tight end. You seem like you seek out physicality. You seem like you actually are somebody that thrives in it. You're not trying to avoid those big hits. You're trying to deliver them. Did I gauge your game right? Did I evaluate it correctly?
Yes, sir. Like, I mean, being smaller, I gotta really, if I want to play at the next level, coaches tell me I gotta be physical. Like, I'm not the bigger guy that can sit there and put hands on him and, like, get him out the way. I got to use my leverage and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's
Hey, Emery, I got to ask you this. When Texas was recruiting you, what was the thing that made the difference in you selecting Texas ahead of the other teams that were recruiting you? What was the difference? What was the feel, the vibe you had when you visited Texas in Austin?
So I went my first game. I went to I couldn't talk to nobody. I couldn't talk to no coaches. I went to the Red River game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was, the atmosphere was great. I like how it, like, split up in half. Like, it split you. You had, you don't even know how many Texas fans, how many Oklahoma fans. And then I went to the Kansas State game, and I'm chilling. I'm talking to coach, and I'm like, this is where I want to be. Like, this is where I'm going to get developed and play.
You were down here in Austin a few weeks ago for the Texas spring game as well. You got to see some more fireworks, really. I mean, it felt like an offensive explosion that day. Was there anything that really stood out to you whenever you were in person watching that game go on?
I mean, they spread the ball around a lot. And, like, most people, they, you know, they have their one target, two targets. The QB have their, like, you know, there's certain targets they want to hit. But no, like, everybody at Texas is ready to, like, it's ready to shine when it's their time. Like,
yeah. We got your tape up right now as well, Emory. I mean, we're seeing you with the ball in your hands, make plays, juke defenders, make the plays down the field. What is it about your game that you think is, you know, a strength and really allows you to become a big menace on the field, basically?
I really think, like, most people wouldn't think this, but I think being smaller is, like, my not an attribute, but it helps me the most because I can move a lot better than certain people. And but they have certain stuff that, you know, they do better. But I think getting open, creating separation, being able to run bomb whenever they don't think so is my biggest, and like catching traffic.
Hey, Emory. Hey, Amari, you're obviously, you know, a very versatile player. Do you see a lot of JT Sanders in yourself? You know, JT didn't test real well at the combine, but he caught the ball in traffic really well. And that's one thing that you do. You're not afraid of traffic. You're not afraid of getting hit. Do you see a lot of JT Sanders in yourself?
I do. I think I feel like I'm a smaller JT.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well for him in Austin, I'd say.
Yeah. It seems like they move you around a lot in high school. You know, Sark moves his tight ends around a lot, too. First of all, what do you prefer? You prefer to be in line or you prefer to be flexed out? You want to be out wide? What do you prefer to be as a tight end?
Really, I don't think it matters. In my school, I really even it out. Like, so, I mean, I got to be the best I can at both, so.
No doubt. A lot coming up for you as the summer months continue. I mean, what's next in your recruitment? I mean, of course, a trip back down to Austin. I mean, how's everything looking on that side of things?
My official is June 21st through the 23rd, so I'll be back.
Well, there we go. There's that. And then talk a little bit about Coach Banks. Of course, position coach down here in Austin at tight end. What stands out about Coach Banks to you, and how's y'all's relationship?
Really, like, it's nothing as simple as he's a straight shooter. Like, I don't like when people try to, like, tell you, yeah, you're going to come in and play. Yeah, you're going to do this. Yeah. Like, I'm not worried about no NIL. We don't talk no NIL. So, the thing with them, like, you don't lead in NIL. If you want to be there, they want to get you there because you want to be there. So, I really do like that. My mom's always taught me that. That money's not everything, and that you don't have to. You need, your goal is the next step, like the NFL, and that's what it is with Coach Banks. And I'm like, and he tells me how it is. If I come in and play, if I come in and practice hard, learn the playbook, I have a chance to have some reps. If I don't, I'm gonna sit on the bench. So, and I know what my goal is. So, I'm gonna. Do what I need to do.
Emory, what do you like most about Coach Sark? What stands out to you about Coach Sark?
I mean, I don't think I've never seen him yell. I think he gets his point across how he needs to get it across, but I don't never see him yell. And so that's a different type of, you see all these coaches yelling and cussing. You don't have to do that. And he doesn't do that. He gets his point across, and you see that it doesn't matter how you coach as long as you're doing it right. Hmm. He can take you anywhere. So,
absolutely.
Well, I certainly hope, Amari, that you will come into the University of Texas with a chip on your shoulder. Yes. Always have a chip on your shoulder. If you don't have a chip on your shoulder, you got to make something up. I'm serious. But because you may not be, you know, the size that everybody's looking for to tight end, you got to play with a chip on your shoulder. I was on the staff at UT for 5 years. I know what that's all about.
Yeah, you do.
And yeah. And so I come in with a chip on your shoulder, baby, with something to prove. You take care of your business at University of Texas. You do what you did in high school. You bring it to Texas with a chip on your shoulder, baby. you'll be in good shape. Always have a chip on your shoulder.
That's the plan. I mean, being smaller, I think that was my biggest concern. Until I asked around, I'll ask coach. I mean, on my last visit, I even, like, my mama knows, like, being smaller, you don't really see. And being able to play the running back position helps me out a lot. Like, being able, I have it in my film. I play safety. I'm our starting second string safety on defense. So being able to do all that from being called a tight end, I mean, I don't really like that because if coach need me to punt the ball, I'm going to punt it. So
I saw a couple of Wildcat. You were playing a little Wildcat quarterback. Is that right?
Yeah. So growing up, I played running back because I was like in middle school. I did actually. I played a lot of running back, Wildcat. We didn't do that. And then one day I told coach my ninth grade year. So I wasn't the go-to guy my ninth grade year. It was a four-wheeler riding down the street.
We got a lot of four-wheelers.
Yeah, I know.
That's in the country, man.
Yeah, living in the yeah. But what was I saying?
Oh, well, that's good. Hey, you know what? I want to ask you since I know we obviously going a little bit long with you, man. But you've been great. I got one more question for you. How many other sports did you play as a youngster? Was I reading that you played a lot of other sports?
Yes, sir. So
yeah.
So growing up, I played baseball, basketball, and football. And now in high school this year, I played baseball. Football, basketball, and soccer.
Coach,
yeah,
baby. Soccer, baby.
I had to stay in shape somehow because if not, I come home and play the game every day, and I'm like, I can't do that.
Hey, it worked out good for Christian Jones. It worked out good for Christian Jones.
I did see something like he does that. So
yeah, he was a soccer guy, man. Hey, Emory, that's good. I'm with you, man. That's good stuff about that standing shape.
I really enjoy it. I mean, I want to be in the best shape I can. Heading to Texas gives me the best shot to play. Because coach did tell me we lose a few guys next year. So Mr. Bob was saying that, like, you got to have a chip so I can come play.
Oh, man. You got a lot of fans out there. Trust me, brother. You just earned a lot of fans out there. We appreciate you joining us, too, today. No doubt.
I appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah. Hey, you come to Texas, Amari. You make a name for yourself, baby. You come in with a chip on your shoulder. You make a name for yourself. Mm-hmm. You're going to be all right.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
We're so fired up, you're going to be a Longhorn.
Yes, sir. And for everybody asking, I'm locked in.
Hey,
All right, baby.
Love it. Hey, thanks for the time and best of luck, brother. Keep working hard. We can't wait till you get to the 40.
No, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Hook him.
Hook him.
Hook him.
Man, okay, I gotta tell you, the fact that he be playing soccer just to stay in shape, coach, big man. With I know you love that. I knew you were gonna love that, coach.
I love it. I'm gonna tell you what, man, I can't wait for that guy to get on the 40 acres. I cannot wait.
He's impressive.
His film is very impressive.
You know what his game reminds me of? And I didn't want to say it to his face because it would have been disrespectful, honestly. I think it would have. He kind of reminds me of Aaron Hernandez's game. I didn't want to say that to his face. But his game, but if Aaron Hernandez was an undersized tight end, if y'all remember.
Yeah.
And he was a really good one. So I'm not trying to make a joke here.
He was a very good one. Yeah.
But he was a really good one. Talking about the football player, he kind of reminds me of him, man. He's undersized. They used to move him all around. He would play running back. He would play quarterback. He'd play all these different positions. And the game was very similar. I apologize if I offended anybody with that comment, but that's the first thing I thought. I wasn't going to say that to a young man because I don't want him thinking about that. I want to say that to a young man. I like him too much. But
good stuff, Rod. Good stuff, man.
No, but he does. I mean, look at his game. I'm telling you, they're very similar. Anyway, Let's get back to it, guys. Wrap up our draft discussion here. I believe we were moving on from Jonathan Brooks. Let's talk about T Sizzle. They're going to be, he got drafted 38th overall in the second round to the Tennessee Titans. People thought his draft stock would drop. That was not the case. How about this, guys? He had a quote after the draft where he said, because they were talking about his weight, getting down to 355 or 350. And he says, if I get down to 355 or 350, I'm going to be a Hall of Famer. that's what the Padres fans said. Which to me, coach, which to me means maybe that Dane Brugler report that came out about him being over 380 in the bowl game and that Sugar Bowl being, you know, upwards of 380, 390. Maybe there's some truth to it. I don't know, but maybe it was some truth to it because he came to the combine at 366. He was 367 at the pro day, didn't weigh in at the Senior Bowl. And I was like, man, why didn't he lose some weight for the combine? Maybe he did. And maybe he's saying, guys, look how light and effective I am. Look how agile I am. You give me the 355, I'm going to be out there running with the linebackers, man. So maybe this could potentially, guys, coach, this could be the steal of the draft. It could be. If Tavondre Sweat actually becomes a three-down player, it could end up being one of the steals of the draft. It truly could.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I was so fired up when he went 38th pick in the draft. I mean, the dude deserves it. I mean, he has paid the price. He has represented the university well. Had a little slip up when he, you know, was, you know, this past spring, but 38th in overall in the draft. I'm fired up for him, and he's gonna make the Titans a great defensive lineman, in my opinion.
Yeah,
DJ, what do you think?
That Titans D line is going to be a lot of fun. Of course, you have Jeffrey Simmons out there, Harold Landry out of LSU. He gets the team back up with Keandre Coburn as well. So
nice.
A pair of Texas nose tackles right there up there in Tennessee. 2 points, though, and Patrick Page, I love it. I mean, he's a first-team All-American, Outland Award winning, trophy winner. Listen, if he did balloon up to 380, 390 during the season, one, maybe a little bit of pause that how did you do that in the middle of the season when you're in pads practicing and playing every day? But two, if you're the best interior defensive lineman in the entire country at that weight and then lose 30 pounds back to where, you know, most expected you to be, that only screams to me that your ceiling is not even close to where it was a year ago when you were the best interior defensive lineman in the country. So a lot of promise, a lot of expectations for Tavondre Sweat. Good spot in Tennessee. They have a great, basically persona about their defense. Smash mouth, very physical style of ball up there. He fits right in.
Yeah, he does. And right now, defensive tackle is a premium position, guys. Last year, look at the top 15 highest paid defenders in the NFL. Half of them were interior defensive linemen. They're paying them more and more because if you want to play with a light box, the only way to do that is to do it with a massive human being so it can clog up multiple gaps with their sheer size and mass. Or they're so destructive and disruptive up front, they demand a double team, which balances out the numbers advantage that they would have. And T-Sway can do these both. He can be both for you. I love that pick. Actually, I don't love it. I like it. I'm a Texans fan, so got to see T-Sweat twice a year. Not looking forward to that. And A.D. Mitchell twice a year. Not looking forward to that. And Keelan Robinson. Damn it. As a Texans fan, I'm hurting here. As a Longhorn fan, I'm loving this. But let's get to it, guys. Let's get to the Longhorn. I think who may have been the best ideal fit for any of the Longhorns who were drafted. And that is Xavier Worthy in the first round to the Kansas City Chiefs. I did predict that they were trained up to get Xavier Worthy. Not the Chiefs. I didn't know it would be them. I was hoping it'd be somebody else. But it is the Kansas City Chiefs. And guys, I think the NFL should be afraid. They should be very afraid. The truth is the Kansas City offense has been castrated essentially the last 2-3 years. No vertical game. I'll give you a stat that's mind-blowing, coach. The average length of a Patrick Mahomes touchdown in 2023 was 3.9 yards. It was 17 yards in 2019. If you go look at the amount of offensive touchdowns on plays of 10-plus yards, the Kansas City Chiefs were 31st in the NFL on explosive plays, touchdowns of 10 plus yards. They were right there with the Jets and the Carolina Panthers. The total distance combined of Patrick Mahomes' touchdown passes in 2023, 101 yards combined. They don't go downfield. They only have a short to intermediate passing game after they lost Tyreek Hill. Now you're going to add the fastest human being in the history of the combine with Hollywood Brown on the other side, another 4.2 guy, 4.27. And they're going to stretch the top off of defense. And a good point my man Bobby brought up that I didn't think about, but the best quarterback in the league at sack avoidance is Patrick Mahomes. Nobody's better at extending the play and being accurate while they're extending that play with a cannon of an arm that can make a throw to any point, any area on the football field. And now imagining the scramble drill with Xavier Worthy, something he couldn't unlock at Texas because he didn't really have the quarterback to unlock a scramble drill. That's not the way Quinn operates. And then before that, it wasn't something that Casey did it a little bit, the scramble drill, but not a ton. It was more Bam Bam Sam's thing. But can you imagine trying to cover that dude, CJ, for, I don't know, 5-6 seconds in a scramble drill?
I couldn't imagine covering him for 2 seconds. I mean, that that speed. My favorite takeaway from the entire draft is we wait, 3 hours to hear Xavier Worthy's name called. We get to 28. We know the Bills need a wide receiver. Okay, this is Adonai Mitchell's time. Then we see there's been a trade. Okay, the Chiefs are on the board. Who are they going to get here? Well, the guy that they've been married to all offseason long with all these mock drafts. They go out and get the fastest player the combine has ever seen. And then the whole takeaway until round two begins is, how did the NFL let this happen?
Yeah, exactly.
How did all these teams allow Kansas City to end up with Xavier Worthy? It was like, we knew all along this was who they wanted. I mean, at 32 in every mock draft that you saw for the last month and a half, 2 months was, yeah, Xavier Worthy is going to fall to 32, and he's going to be right there. Patrick Mahomes is going to go get him a new weapon, and they're going to three-peat. Well, they traded up to go get him to ensure that he was still on the board because they knew that was the perfect fit for them. And it's going to be very dangerous for the rest of the NFL. I mean, we've talked about, we just watched Patrick Mahomes win back-to-back Super Bowls when it felt like he didn't have a true wide receiver one. You know, he has that now in Xavier Worthy. He's not just a speed guy. He has great hands. He's shown great route running ability. Did so at the combine, did so at the pro day. It's dangerous. Look out, because that's probably my favorite pick of anybody that got selected. Just the fit, the team, the scheme, and the player. It can't get much better for Xavier Worthy than ending up with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
Yeah, Xavier is living right. I mean, he is. Now, if you look at the press conference when he was drafted, they don't have – they're not disillusioned. He's not Tyreek Hill. He's not that type of player. They know that. But the speed that he brings to the table and his return ability is a lot like Tyreek, but he's not the same person. Obviously, he doesn't have the build that Tyreek has, but he does have the speed, and he will stretch the field vertically, which is something that they definitely need since Tyreek, left for the Dolphins. So I agree with you, CJ, and Rod, you called it. I mean, this is a pick you called when I was watching the draft and I heard they drafted Xavier. Man. I was like, what a perfect fit. Yep. What a lucky guy. What a blessed guy to fall into a place like that. And I'll say this, he deserves it. You know, after his junior year, he was his last year's 22 season, he was, there were a lot of people doubting him because he didn't adjust to the ball as well as he should have. If he was thrown right at him, he might catch it. If he had to adjust it, he might not catch it. But he came back his senior year and really, I think, shut up a lot of his critics and was drafted by a team that will use him, and obviously they have proven they know how to use speed at wide receiver with one of the best quarterbacks NFL has ever known.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt. He couldn't end up in a more perfect spot. So congrats to Xavier Worthy and the best play caller also in Andy Reid, no doubt about that. And last but not least, Byron Murphy, the first Longhorn off the board, went to the Seattle Seahawks in the first round. That's a big pickup for them. fifth D tackle in Texas football history to be drafted in the first round. And Mike McDonald, a defensive guru, is deciding to make Byron Murphy the centerpiece of his defense. And he's got to go up against Sean McVay twice a year. He's got to go up against Kyle Shanahan twice a year. He wants to make sure he's got some elite level defenders to do that. And Byron Murphy is the first name he chose. Says a lot about Byron Murphy and his ceiling potentially.
Yeah, it was crazy watching that first round, seeing 14 straight offensive players to get selected. We didn't have to wait too long for that streak to end and then see Byron Murphy's name get called. But to your point, I mean, the Seahawks need some big-time interior defensive linemen to play against the Rams, the Niners. I mean, the Cardinals every now and then can surprise you. But, of course, the dual threat ability of Kyler Murray certainly means you got to be up front, locked and loaded with that interior defensive line spot. Murphy brings that to the Seahawks. And, again, I keep pointing to it, but the last Texas Longhorn to go play that nose spot for the Seahawks ended up doing pretty well with Puna Ford. So I'm excited for Byron. That's a good fit for him.
Yeah, it is a good fit, and he's a hell of a player too. I think Byron Murphy, his story is also another one of those great stories about development. I think a lot of the responsibility, a lot of the credit is on him, though. A lot of the coaches said he just kind of worked himself into being a great player. Not only a great player, but a first-round pick. All right, that's our wrap-up of the NFL, of the draft picks in the 2024 NFL draft. Also, free agents, undrafted free agents. You let me know, CJ, if there are any more that I missed, but it was Ryan Sanborn, you reported, was an undrafted free agent, gotten signed by Atlanta. And you also reported Jed Bush to New England.
Jet Bush signed with New England. I didn't report that one, but I did report that Ryan Sanborn signed with the Atlanta Falcons. So getting to go join Bijan out there in the ATL, I guess, as a punter. And then Jet Bush, no one has produced better Texas undrafted free agents over the past decade than the New England Patriots. So if there's one spot you want to sign and hopefully see that development and find a niche role, Jet Bush in the New England, that's a great fit.
Yeah, real quick before we kind of get into the end of this thing, before we give a shout out to our sponsors, KD35, I am the best. Hearing that Dominique Williams is down to Texas and Mizzou, LOL, is he just heading to LSU for a free trip? Also, what's the word on Takario Davis? He's still in the portal, but he was at and participating with Arizona in their spring game this last weekend. CJ, any updates on Dominique Williams, the TCU defensive lineman, and on Takario Davis, what people thought would be the cornerback out of Arizona, who's expected to hit the transfer portal? And everything becomes final, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow, correct? The transfer portal closes for the spring semester?
Yeah, so tomorrow will be the last day that you can enter the transfer portal. You can still make your decision and commit after that up until I believe when people when players return to campus for the June conditioning. So for Texas, I believe it's May 31st is that day that everybody moves back onto campus. We'll double check on that. But Dominique Williams, again, it looked like it was going to be Texas and Oklahoma. Now Missouri's in the fold, taking a trip down to LSU to see Bo Davis. Texas, again, been a constant theme here, a big competitor. Of course, they can compete on the field with playing time immediately as well in the NIL game. So going to be tough to beat. Missouri gave them a lot to think about over the weekend. But I think Oklahoma's kind of slipped out of that one. We'll see what LSU does again with Bo Davis. As for Takario Davis, Texas would love for him to be in the portal 100%, for him to be someone that they are considering without a question. He's been receiving some way too early first-round praise for the 2025 NFL draft. That gives you an understanding of how these guys are being evaluated at the moment. 6'3 cornerbacks that can run. You don't see him too often, and that's why Arizona's doing everything that they can to keep him on campus. Of course, Dwayne Aquina staying in Arizona makes a big difference there. We've seen a lot of front seven guys from Arizona join and follow Johnny Nansen to Texas. Well, Dwayne Aquina is a little bit differently, and Rod, you can speak about that firsthand.
Yeah.
Right now, we'll certainly see what his intentions are, but the Arizona staff allowing him to go through spring workouts and spring ball, that means a little bit for in terms of their hopes and dreams of keeping him on campus there. So we'll see. Right now, it's kind of a wait-and-see game with Takario Davis.
Good stuff there. Hey, Coach, Burnt Orange Horn wants to know, are you in your new home, Coach Shipley?
Not yet. Well, not yet. Actually, I am. So I married my next door neighbor. I close on my house. I'm selling tomorrow. But yeah, so I'm in her house. I don't have my house to go to anymore. Used to, I would leave in the morning and say, I'll see you about 5:30 or 6, and I go to my house. I don't have my house anymore. I sold it tomorrow, but it won't be long. And then we're going to sell her house and move into another one.
Man, that's a lot of moving right there, Coach. But Coach, you big time though. You big time. I like that. Someone says,
well, I hate moving.
I do too. Someone says, Hook 'em from Oklahoma podcast. Hook 'em, Rod B. I wore number 21 in the Little League because of you.
Woo! Look at that.
Hold on. No, I'm going to screenshot that right now. Let me screenshot this.
Or Graydon Cabins.
Yeah, I got to screenshot. Boom. Let me screenshot. Bam. I got that from my phone. See, I screenshotted that. Thank you, Hook 'em from Oklahoma podcast. You made my day on that one. And Curtis says, Rod got the right hat on today, Coach. Hey, you only got to tell me once. I don't need to get that. My wife said the same thing. She said, baby, I love you because I only got to tell you once. You're damn right. I'm coachable. That means you're coachable. All right, let's thank our sponsors, gentlemen, before we get out of here. One more shout out to South Point Dodge. Thank them so much. I want to thank them so much for their support of the winning drive. Hey, Longhorn fans, you can score an easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock. And their award-winning sales staff, they don't play games. They're not about gimmicks. They're all about getting straight to the point and make sure they're getting you the best deal available. So score big today at South Point Dodge. Come see them off of I-35 South in Austin or just visit them online at southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. So we want to thank them. Also, we'd like to thank Flat Creek Estate Winery for their support as well. Flat Creek just won 11 awards in 30 days, including Double Gold Grand Reserve and Texas Grand Reserve at the Houston Rodeo. Flat Creek Estate Winery raking in awards and is just a few minutes from the heart of Austin, Texas. Select bottles of the wines by Flat Creek Estate are now available at your local Specs. So now you can get a taste of what they're all about. Flat Creek is also a gorgeous venue hosting events for the entire family all spring. Check out their website for wine tastings, chef dinners, and even make a reservation to visit the property for Mother's Day coming up. Eat, drink, and be awesome at Flat Creek Estate. For more info, please visit flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com. And yes, I'm still trying to arrange a way to get out there for Mother's Day. I'm trying to get some more wine from Flat Creek Estate because I brought back 4 bottles and now they're all gone. That's how good that's actually. They're all gone. And by the way, Coach, I didn't drink that much of them. So wifey loves Flat Creek Estate wine. So thank you guys.
Okay. Does she like white wine or red wine?
She likes both. She depends on the meal. Depends on the meal. She's one of, she's kind of a, I don't say she's a snob about her wine, but she's a wine enthusiast. So if it's a certain meal, then she wants a certain kind of wine. So, hey, you know what? Happy wife, happy life. You know what I'm saying? And wine.
No doubt. Yeah. I'll be visiting Flat Creek for sure.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, real quick, before we get out of here, hey, we want you guys to become an OTFOG, an On Texas Football OG. Join us over at ontexasfootball.com. They're running a special right now. It's $20 off an annual subscription to the site if you use the code OTFOG. That's OTFOG for $20 off instead of a $60 a year subscription. It's just $39.95, or you can get a monthly subscription for just $5.95. For more insider news on the team and recruiting, make sure you check out ontexasfootball.com and become an OG. All right. For our OG, that's Coach. Coach is the OG on this show. And for the young G, that's CJ. All right. I'm just in the middle of this thing. And my man behind the scenes, my man Matthew, he is the real MVP. That's what he is, because we can't do it without him. For our friends over at Flat Creek Estate Winery and also for South Point Dodge and for the On Texas Football family, thank you guys for joining us. We can't tell you how much we appreciate you guys helping us grow this thing. This community is growing. It's getting bigger and bigger every day. It's because of you guys. So thank you so much. And until next time, hook 'em.
Hook 'em.